Hello, hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 1 of The Fineapple Show. Let's begin. Right, it feels like a millennia since we last spoke. Okay, I say millennia, it was January, but you catch my drift. So this episode is being released on my birthday, and I thought if I'm going to release a Season 2, Episode 1, it has to be on a specific date. It was originally supposed to be on the 4th of July, because that's the day that I started my whole fitness journey back in 2018. But for some reason, the timing just wasn't right. It's not scheduling. Timing as in, it just didn't feel right. And now, I think it does. I think now is the right time because there's a lot of things that have happened this year that have got me to this point. The podcast today is basically going to center around growth and the things I've learnt over this last year, and I suppose over the last 3 years, if I'm honest. So quick recap, it's been just over 3 years since the start of the weight loss, fat loss journey. I've been at maintenance for over a year. I had my surgery just over a year ago. So there's been a lot that's happening. All of these things have led to growth, and this is what it, for me anyway, this is what it comes down to. People ask me, why did you lose weight? What was your light bulb moment? And if I'm honest, I woke up on the 4th of July, looked up at my ceiling, and I thought, there's more to life than this, because all I was doing was going to work, coming home, and living my life for other people. I basically was the admin of everyone. And yet, I was finding it very hard to admin my own life. And the truth of the matter, upon reflection, is the only reason I was busy admining everyone else's life is because having to actually sit down and reflect on yourself isn't the nicest of things. You want to avoid the truth. I think I did anyway. Because if you have to sit there and think, shit, the reason I am in the place that I am is me. I am my biggest roadblock. But once you accept that, once you realize that you're the only person in your way, things start happening because you bloody well make sure you do them. And that's what happened. I looked up at the ceiling and I thought, I want more from life. I want to be going out, doing things, meeting people. I want to live life because we only get one of them. And why am I wasting it? And that's really the start of everything. It was that why? Questioning why. But having said this, I also knew that if I was going to do this, it was going to be a lifelong sustainable thing. Anything I do has to be done for life. I'm not doing juice cleanses. I'm not doing, you know, oh, just take this tablet for a little while. Just take this for a little while. No, because I know I'm not that person who can do that. And that's okay. But coming back to growth, having lost this amount of weight brought on a whole new person, because the confidence I have now, even to do this, I definitely didn't have 3 years ago. The confidence has grown. The surgery I had it at the plastic surgery group with the most incredible surgeon who I can't begin to compliment enough, Mr. Mo Akavani. Absolutely changed my life. Absolutely. I often get asked, did you think it was necessary? It was just loose skin. You could have lived with it. You looked fantastic. You know, once you'd lost the weight, no one can tell. Now, here's the thing. Unless you have lost a substantial amount of weight, you do not have an opinion. I don't care how that sounds. Unless you have lost 120 pounds and sat there pulling at skin, you do not get to have an opinion on my choice or the choice of the thousands of women that choose to do this. Because as great as you might look with your clothes on, if you're not feeling bloody fantastic when you take those clothes off. You can either start the process of accepting that, or you can do something about it. I chose to do something about it. I did my homework and I did my research, and I ended up in Mo Akhavani's office just full of excitement. The minute I thought, right, I can make this happen, I ran with it. And oh my God, people thought I was confident before my surgery, but people that have seen me pre and post-op will tell you they can see the change, because it's literally changed my life. And I'm not exaggerating. People probably think, oh, she's putting it on. I swear to God, I would choose this gigantic scar over that skin any single day of the week. So if you want that surgery, or if you want to make any changes, bloody do it. Don't give a shit about what anyone else says to you. As long as your surgeon says, you know, yeah, I think this is going to be beneficial, it's going to help you, fine. What I love about Mo is he will tell me no. And I don't know many plastic surgeons out there who will say, nah, you're right. A lot of people will say yes to you because they want your money. And this comes down to, who do you trust? And when anyone asks me, who did your surgery, why do you recommend him? This is one of the big reasons why. When I've asked for something and he thinks I don't need it, he will tell me. He will say no. And I think, right, this is a man I can trust, because he's not just saying yes to everything I say so he can take what he wants. No. And he also managed my expectations. We have this idea of what we want to look like. And obviously, as someone who helps people achieve their goals and body goals, I also have to manage people's expectations. And I feel like Mo does that as well. He will manage my expectations. He'll say, okay, you want this, and this is what it potentially could look like. And I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. If it's a choice over this scar or that skin, I will pick that scar a gazillion times over. And there's not a single person I've spoken to throughout this journey who has said any different to me. But again, it's a choice. If you're happy, fine. I'm not going to tell you you should or shouldn't have surgery. But as far as my journey is concerned, it's changed my fucking life. Having said that, that confidence you get from losing the weight, having the surgery, getting that physique from lifting heavy shit up. I love a bit of weight training. But all of that then opened the door for me to date. Oh gosh, dating. So since the last time we had our little one-to-one back in August 2020, a couple of months after my surgery, I did get into a relationship with someone. And I thought, this is it. This is the one. You know, when you meet someone and you just click on every single level. Unfortunately, I am a hopeless romantic. I love wearing my rose-tinted glasses, and you will do whatever it takes to make that person happy. I will do whatever it takes to make my person happy, because you're my person. And what I've learnt is that that's a two-way street. It's all well and good being in love, and you know, that's fine as long as it's a two-way street. Having lost that, my confidence took a massive battering. Unfortunately, when you lose that, I feel like you lose a certain part of yourself. My confidence took a battering, because before I met him, I was happy. I finally got to this happy place, and I didn't have a care in the world. I wanted to do something, I went and did it. I met people, I tried different things I hadn't done before. And he came out of nowhere. I wasn't looking, and he just turned up, and I thought, shit, this is happening. This is real. And then when you lose that, you think, oh, Hold on. Why wasn't I good enough? Why was I not worth staying for? And it's hard. It's fucking hard. So that really knocked me for six, because when someone says all these things, you want to believe them. Of course you do. And I feel like, having experienced that, I don't regret it one bit. Absolutely not, because I learned a lot. And one of the biggest lessons I learned from that was, if you can't accept me for me, we're not meant to be together. If I'm constantly compromising myself for you and sacrificing my wants and needs for you and our relationship, and yet you're not willing to make any sacrifices, that's not okay. That is not okay. And I'm grateful that he left. I really am. I'm absolutely grateful, because in hindsight, all the things I was willing to change about myself, I love all those things, because I had to fight for those tooth and nail to get to this point. I had to fight. And upon reflection, I was willing to give those things up so easily for someone who wouldn't give up anything for me. So my confidence took a battering. For weeks, I say weeks, that's a lie, let's be honest, for months I questioned every single decision I made while I was in that relationship. What could I have done better? How could I have been better for him? You know, and I think it's human nature. We all do that, because we try and find the why. And I've realised sometimes there is no answer, or there's no answer you're ever going to get or be happy with. So you need to accept the situation for what it is and let it go. And it's definitely easier said than done. I won't pretend for a minute that it's an easy thing. It's not. It's difficult to let go of someone you've given everything to, you know, your heart and soul, and you love this person, and they've just disappeared. And it's hard to compartmentalize that. It's hard to say, oh, well, you know, another one bites the dust. No. I mean, for some people, it is that easy, because I have spoken to some people. They're like, not a big deal. Plenty more fish. And you know what? That's fine. I wish I was that blasé, but I'm not. I told you, I'm this hopeless romantic with my rose-tinted glasses. I don't work like that, because I'm that kind of person that if I'm in, I'm all in. I will give it my everything, because I don't see the point in going in half-assed. I actually had a conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about dating and love lives, and I said, I now go into any dating or relationship situation giving you 100% of my trust. Because if I go in thinking at some point this guy's going to fuck me over, or at some point this is going to mess up, or maybe he's lying, and I question your every thought and every action, I'm waiting for you to mess up. But if I give you 100% trust, I'm not saying be stupid here, let's not get it twisted, but if I trust you and say, right, okay, let's start this, let's see where this goes, you have now got the opportunity to either rise to the occasion or fuck up. It's not fair for me to, you know, tar you with the same brush, as it were. So I haven't let my bad experiences cloud my future ones. And this is what we were discussing, because we found a lot of people we were talking to have had one or two or three or four really, really bad experiences. And they then let that carry on to their future relationships. And I'm not saying I'm a relationship expert, by no means, but I genuinely think that if you keep that person or that situation or those scenarios in the back of your head, you are basically waiting for a fuck up. You are waiting for something to go wrong, and you shouldn't. You should always enter any new situation with a clean slate, with a level playing field. Why go into something with negativity? Because I can't see how that would work. How or why any situation would work if you've gone in with a negative mindset. Where were we? So weight loss, confidence boost. Surgery, major confidence boost. Dating, battered that confidence. But then I picked up the pieces and I built it back up, and I thought, no, I'm not going to let this destruct me. We're going to learn from it and build from it and try and figure a way out. But I haven't let it taint my view of love and life and the possibility of something amazing, because why not? People say that it's naive. I don't care. Let me live my best life. Let me have my naive rose-tinted dreams and let's just see what happens. Oh, imposter syndrome. This is totally diverged, but it kind of partly feeds into the confidence thing. I was having a chat with some of my other weight loss friends, and we were having lunch recently, and we were talking about imposter syndrome. And it's so difficult to look at yourself in the mirror and see what everyone else sees. I know we've spoken about this before briefly, but even now, after all this time, it is difficult. Because sometimes you can't see what everyone sees. Yes, I know, like, you know, common sense will tell me I am not the person I was 3 years ago. I am not over 18 and a half stones anymore. I do not wear size 20 jeans anymore. I know this. I'm not irrational. I know this. But sometimes you literally cannot see what everyone else can see. And funnily enough, it's the reason why we all take so many pictures. Because it's trying to reinforce to our brains, this is real, this is you, this has happened. And it's something that doesn't stop. One of my friends, she has been at maintenance for 10 years. And even now, she still says that sometimes, you know, you have to remind yourself you are not that person anymore. You are not where you were. Look how far you've come. And you have to remind yourself. And that's one of the great things about having this community on Instagram, is we will all pick one another up. And anyone who comes to us for help or needs a bit of advice or inspiration, we will pick them up the same way, because we know what it feels like to be on the other side, because we've come through it. And it's a great feeling, because you're reinforcing that message that if I've done this, you can too. You are not alone. I will pull you through it. And that's what this is all about. That for me is the best part of Instagram, is everyone is willing to help and everyone is willing to pull you out of whatever situation or whatever headfuck you are in. And what could be better than that? Instagram has bought me a community of people. And this leads me on to my next point. People. Who is in your circle? The people in your life are so utterly important, because when you're in a shit place, the people that come to help pick you up, those are the people that you need. Over the last 6 months, I'd say, I have really, really, really taken stock of the people around me. We decide who gets to have access to us and our time. And it is so important. I can't tell you the number of conversations I've had, people messaging me and saying, you know, this has happened, that has happened, and I don't know how to deal with it. And I'm thinking, who needs enemies? Because these people are your alleged closest friends, your members of your family who are doing this to you, making you feel that way. And even upon communicating your feelings to them, they're still doing that to you. They're not your people, because what they're doing is dragging you down, and that's not okay. So some of you may know this, some of you may not, but my granddad passed away in March this year of a heart condition. And the reality of it probably still hasn't sunk in. I try not to think about it and call it avoidance or whatever you want to call it. It is what it is. But it's how I'm dealing with it. And I'm wearing his jumper now. I wear his belt and I wear his jumpers every now and again. But he was the most gentle person I've ever met. He hardly ever raised his voice. But no matter what was going on around him, he would just sit there and be chilled. And I'll be like, Dad, why aren't you saying anything? And he's like, you know what, leave him to it. Life is too short, leave them to it. And I never quite understood that until now. Life is too short to argue with people who are chucking shit at you. Why bother? Why dirty your own hands? Why? Like, he lived a great life. He was 86 when he passed away. He, you know, it wasn't a short innings. But it came out of nowhere. Within 3 days, he was gone. And that really took me for six. And I thought, shit. As much as I've made changes in my life, I am still not doing what I want to do. I want to PT one-to-one on the gym floor. I want to grow Project Fineapple. I want to help more people than I'm helping now. And my restraint is coming from the amount of time I can give Project Fineapple because I'm running another business, which is actually draining the life out of me because it's not what I love. It's daily headache, daily commotion, daily dealing with people who are sucking my energy. And it's unhealthy. It's an unhealthy environment. And in August of this year, I thought, fuck it. And I walked out. I walked out of a destructive environment because I thought, life's too fucking short to be unhappy. And you have to go for what you want. You have to. Because saying I want this and I want that and then doing nothing about it, you're doing yourself a disservice. Not choosing is a choice. I read this in The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. But it's so true. We have so many choices. And sometimes we choose not to do something. That's still a choice. That is still a fucking choice. Everything in our lives, we have a choice. It's different that most of the time we make a fucking excuse. And that is what it is. Unfortunately, it is what it is. Whenever we're saying, oh, no, I can't do that because X, Y, and Z. Oh, no, I can't do that because X, Y, Z. That's your choice. And same goes for me. I've put this off for so long. Why? It was my choice. It wasn't because I was busy or I had scheduling issues. It's because I was too scared. I thought this is not the right time. Yeah, it worked out to be a blessing. But again, it was my choice. It's like me saying, you know, and obviously I have those moments where I say to myself, I wish for the life of me I'd started my weight loss journey when I was 18, 19, even 21. I wish. And then I pull myself out of that and say, well, at least you fucking did it. At least you didn't wait till you were 50, 60, 70 years old. At least you fucking did it. Yes, you didn't make that choice when it would have been the ideal time. And yes, I feel like I've lost out on a lot of years. But what's the alternative? I never started this and I would still be miserable. I wouldn't have learned any of these lessons. I probably would have been in destructive relationships and let life pass me by. So, yeah, okay. I made this choice later than I should have. But I made the choice. I made the move. I walked out of that business probably a year, 2 years after I should have. But maybe this was the right time. Maybe now was the right time because now it's going to give me a kick up the backside to get shit done because now I don't have another choice. There is no backup plan. There is no fallback. This is it, all or nothing. And I think you have to kind of go in this with this mentality that if it is to be, it's up to me. I have to make this work. And when you're in the pits of it, you will find a fucking way, trust me. You will put the time in, you will put the effort in, you will make shit happen. It's as simple as that. Some of my clients message me and say, like, this is what I want, this is what I want to achieve. Wicked, let's get it done. I say some of, all of my clients. And the reason all of my clients, because when someone messages me and they get wishy-washy, I don't take them on as clients. You're probably thinking, well, that's stupid because you can make money off this person. Yeah, I could. But if you're not willing to put the work in, you've just taken that spot from someone else who might want to have put that work in and actually got somewhere. And that's not okay. And I'm not okay with that. Oh, I'm going on holiday. I don't have time. Well, no, you're making a choice. You've already decided that when you're on holiday, everything's going to go to shit. You've decided that already. You've already gone in with a negative mindset that everything's going to go to shit. Why? It's not okay. Let's be a bit harsh to be kind. It's not okay. The last birthday and this birthday, I now allow myself to have freedom for birthday week. Because I remember my coach said to me, birthdays don't last a day, they last a week. And I thought, well, I'm running with that. Fine. But even that, I still make mindful choices. Yeah, I eat pizza and cake and ice cream and all those things. But I still don't go bloody crazy because I don't see the need in it anymore. It doesn't appeal to me anymore. It's not my driving force anymore. Now, I don't know if people are going to agree with me on this or if everyone's going to hate on me after this. I don't know. But this is how I see it. When I first started this weight loss journey, I knew what my goal was. And that goal was so important to me. It drove every fucking decision. I was the girl who was going out with my friends for lunch or dinner, and I was ordering the salad with a side of salad. Why? Because I knew if I want to get to my goal, I am going to be as picky as I fucking want, whether anyone likes it or not. And I picked my friend circle because I knew these people are going to support my decision. They are going to support me and not question me and say, oh, go on, have a bit. I don't want those people in my life. Because in that stage, when you've made that decision that you want to make this huge life change, and it is huge, you're breaking a lifetime of habits. This is not a small deal. This is a big deal. And for everyone who's done it, I'm so fucking proud of you. Like, it takes a lot. Don't let anyone diminish anything you have done. Because it takes effort. It takes willpower. And I made sure there were people around me who would support me and my journey. So I was that person. What are you having? I'll have the salad with the chicken or the salad with the salmon or whatever. I'm not having what everyone else is having. And I'm okay with that. And if I'm okay with it, you better make sure you are. Because I don't want to hear it. I don't. And I did that until I got to my goal. I feel like people are far too quick to say, oh no, it's okay to treat yourself every now and again. I'm not saying it's not, but if you're treating yourself every time you lose 1 pound with a burger and fries and a packet of crisps, what was the fucking point? I'm sorry, let's just be honest here. What was the bloody point? There's definitely a thing called balance, 100%. And all of my clients have balance. Because I want them to do this in a sustainable way. If they have some sort of thing that they really, really want, I'm like, okay, have it. Because I don't want you to go and binge. We're not all built the same. We don't all have the same mentality. We don't all have the same drive. But let's not pretend that if you've got, I'll give my own example, 100 pounds to lose, it's okay for every pound you lose to have a burger and fries and a packet of crisp. It's not. It's not okay. If you really want something, you have to sometimes be cruel to be kind. You have to tell yourself, no, I'm not a parent. Some of you might be. If your child wants something that you know is bad for them, you know that that's not good for your child, you will say no. Your child might kick up a fuss, throw a few toys out the pram, kick a door, whatever it is kids do, and say, I want this. But as the parent, you will make that decision and you will say no, because you know that that's not a good choice. Why can't we do that for ourselves? Because we don't want to say no to ourselves. And that's the problem. I've said this to some of my friends and I said exactly the same thing. I said, basically, if you want to get where you want to get, treat yourself like your child. Tell yourself no. Everyone seems to think that no is this big bad word. It's not. It's really not. It's okay to say the word no. Would you like a second or third or fourth slice of cake? No, thank you. I'm fine. Because I'm being balanced. Balanced diet, balanced lifestyle, balanced working out, balanced training program, work-life balance. you know, it all comes down to bloody balance and picking what's important to you. So I'm not out here telling you how you should live your life, not for a cotton picking minute. But what I'm saying is, if you want something bad enough, but you are not making those choices or taking the actions to support that decision, then you also can't complain about it. If I kept doing what I was doing before, or, you know, making excuses for myself, I don't think I'd be at this point. And the only person whose fault it would be mine. Because I need to know when to say no and when to say yes. So, if we summarise, or attempt to summarise, I have learnt that from now on, the people that are in my life will have to accept me for me. I am who I am. And I like it that way because I've built this person. I have built this person from the ground up. I am no longer scared of saying this is what I want. Because before I thought if I ask for this and to that person it might seem like too much, they might say no, or it might lead to this. But I've learned that that's okay. Because if you try and make yourself smaller for someone else, eventually that aspect of you will come out and you'll still be too much for that person. And instead of nipping it in the bud, it will just go on and on and on. What for? Ask for what you want. And if you don't get it, that's okay too. But at least you asked. If you don't ask, you don't get. Be honest. If you want a promotion and you think you deserve it, ask for it. If you want to know where you stand in your relationship with someone, if you're dating or exclusive or whatever the 10 billion terminologies are these days, ask for it. If you feel like your boyfriend isn't giving you enough time and attention and is disappearing, bloody well pull him up on him, pull him up on it and tell him. And if he says, screw you, fine, because, you know, he's not worth your time, or she's not worth your time, or they're not worth your time. But if you don't ask, you don't get. Walk out of destructive environments, whether it's your family or friends. That sounds really harsh, but it's true. If you're telling someone, this is how you're making me feel, and they don't take a step back and acknowledge that and say, shit, I'm really sorry I made you feel like that. I'm really sorry that my words hurt you, or my actions or whatever it is hurt you. I'm sorry. Let's try and fix this. Thank you. Next. I care about you enough to try and make sure I don't hurt you, because I might have said something and it's unintentionally hurt you. I apologize. I wouldn't just let it be. And all the people in my life now that I have chosen to be in my life help create a beautiful environment. They are supportive and loving and they lift you up. We lift each other up. That's what friends do. That's what your people should be doing. They shouldn't be knocking you. They shouldn't be saying, oh, you only did that. Oh, I can do this, but you can only do this. Or, you know, it's not a competition. It's not. It's supposed to be about lifting each other up, not putting each other down. That's not okay. And if there are people in your life, and you'll be thinking of them as I'm saying this, that constantly put you down, that's not good for you. That is not good for your mental health. It is not good for your emotional well-being. And as hard as it might be, you need to put walls up with those people and say, you know what? I'm going to keep a bit of distance from you because right now I need to work on me and you are not helping me. And that is your choice. If you keep allowing people to treat you like shit, that's your choice. But it's not okay. You should want more for you. You should want more. You deserve more. Why settle for less? On that note, I think this is probably the right place to kind of tie this up. I hope that was helpful for some of you. I've done a lot of growing up, and a lot of it has come from talking to people and listening to people, reading books, listening to podcasts, going to events, meeting people that I wouldn't have. Like, I went to IFS this year and it totally blew my bloody mind. I went as a solo traveller, a lot of people did, and I met some amazing people. And I think you really do need to get out there, because you'll see people from all walks of life, from places you might not have been to, and they're doing things you've never done and you're doing things they've never done, and you can learn so much from one another. The world's a massive place. It's huge. And I think sometimes we get stuck in a rut and we stay on a little bubble because it's safe and secure. But sometimes, most of the time, you will grow when you leave your bubble. Get out of your bubble, walk out of your box, and just try new things. If that's the one thing you take away from this, is try something new. And even if you're not trying something new, really just sit down and take a moment and think, what do I want? What will make me happier? What's going to bring me a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of joy in my life? Try and find something, even if it's just one thing every day that brings you joy. Whether it's having your morning cup of coffee in the garden, or in complete silence, or with the paper, or watching something, or going to the swings, my personal favourite, or, you know, playing with a dog. I don't know, whatever it might be, whatever it is that you love or would bring you some sort of joy, please do it, because life is too short to waste. Yeah, you're not going to wake up every day full of enthusiasm. I'd be lying to you if I said that you would. You're not going to wake up every day wanting to jump out of bed. You're not. You're not going to wake up every day wanting to go to the gym and train. But try. Just try. Because the minute you stop trying, what's left? The minute you stop trying, you've basically given up on yourself. And if you're not fighting for yourself, no one else is going to fight for you. That is the biggest thing. You have to fight for yourself. You have to fight for your happiness, and you have to fight for your joy, because life is too short. So fight for what makes you happy. Fight for what brings you peace. And just don't stop fighting. Don't stop fighting for yourself. And if something scares you, run towards it. If something scares you to your core, jump. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to fail? That's fine. You'll learn from it, and you'll pick yourself up, you'll dust yourself off, and you'll keep going. Don't let the fear of doing something stop you, because it's the only way you're going to grow. I know I keep saying this, but I really passionately, adamantly believe this. If you're scared, just jump. Just jump. Everything will be fine. You will catch yourself. If you fall, you can pick yourself back up. Just go into any situation and think, you know what? What's the worst that's going to happen? What is? What is the worst? Because the best thing that's going to happen is it could change your fucking life. That is the best thing. And it can be something so small. It doesn't even need to be something drastic. It can be the smallest thing that can make the biggest impact to your life. And it will change for the people around you. It's going to impact you, and it will impact everyone else. It's like a rippling effect. And when you think about that, it's fucking phenomenal. Right, I could go on for another 100 years, so we're going to stop now. But I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope it's brought you something, or made you think about something, or made you think of someone who needs to hear this, whatever it might be. And if you don't mind, please like, subscribe, and share. Much appreciated. Share it on your Instagram. Tag me in at Aisha_thefitlife and at Project Fineapple. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know if there are any specific people you would like on the show, and I will try and make it happen. Thank you so much, guys. And I will see you guys soon.